There's a good chance your calendar does not show that today is equal pay day across the country. It is not really the kind of day that lends itself to celebrations and parades because pay is still not equal. Women make less money than men, and people of minority groups often make less than white people. Steps are always being taken. Oregon took a big one in last year's legislative session. Legislators passed a pay equity law giving people a place to turn and a potential payoff if they have indeed been paid less than their counterparts. Two guests, both from AAUW, the American Association of University Women. Patricia Trish Garner is the State Public Policy Committee Chair. Hi, Trish.
Hey there, Jeff.
Good to have you here and or on the phone. And Regina Ayers is with us as well. She is a member of the Ashland Public Policy Committee and the past chair of it and a member of that state public policy committee that Trish chairs. And Regina represents the Southern District. She's in the studio with me. Good to see you, Regina.
Thank you.
So, Trish, give us the basic setup here. How far apart are men and women still in pay?
Oh, they're unfortunately pretty far apart. Women earn 80 cents on the dollar. And as you said, it gets less for women of color.
And what do we think are the factors, Regina?
Well, I think that historically women have been paid less, and we have not been able to catch up over the years. I think women are primary family caregivers. They have worked part-time. They go in and out of the workforce. And those are some of the factors. And there is just discrimination.
Trish Garner, that I was anticipating that particular discussion of the fact that women do leave and have kids and then come back after a while, and that slows their progress in getting raises. Does that argument hold any water?
Well, you know, I'm sure to some degree. But I would say that the statistics say that just isn't so. I mean, you can take a look at a whole lot of factors. One that I find so interesting, that as women enter a male-dominated field, guess what happens to the pay? It goes down. And when men enter a female-dominated field, the pay goes up. Men are also paid more in female-dominated jobs. Average monthly earnings of women Oregonians are lower than that of men in every industry.
Are there any exceptions?
Yeah, it's very broad based, and the notion that there are that women choose traditionally lower paying or traditionally female jobs just doesn't square with statistics.
That one case you cited, though, where when women enter male dominated jobs, the pay goes down for everyone.
Yep.
Interesting.
I mean, obviously we're talking about statistics, mm-hmm. You know, not every individual case, but that is what it says.
Interesting. So I want to get some idea of distribution geographically. Regina Ayers, is there any difference from one part of the state to the other? I mean, is Southern Oregon any better than Northern Oregon, Eastern Oregon?
Well, in an effort to educate the public, AAUW has created a resource manual and a toolkit and that we're giving our members in order to educate their communities. And some of the statistics that we collected for that did break it down by districts. And it's interesting that our district, District 2, is at, the state average is for Oregon. 80 is national, mm-hmm. but for Oregon it's 79 cents is the average.
Ouch.
And so district-wise, we in District 2 are at 76. Of course, Portland is the smallest gender gap, and that is at 88%. And then the coast, which is District 5, is 74. So there is a slight difference in salaries across the state.
We are talking about the disparities in pay between primarily men and women on this National Equal Pay Day. Regina Ayers is with AAUW based in Ashland. Trish Garner is with AAUW's State Policy Committee. She's the chair. And you can join the conversation on the exchange. Your thoughts on equal pay for women and all the efforts to get the equal pay for women. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone. Share a story with us, perhaps. This may have happened to you. And in fact, more than likely, if you're a woman, it did. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Trish, you pushed hard for the equal pay law we referenced at the top of the discussion that passed the 2017 legislature. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what you set out to do with it.
Well, I guess first off was in 2015 when we pushed for a bill that said employees can talk about their pay, their wages, without fear of any reprisal. you know, you got to be able to talk about it first to find out really if there is a difference in pay. But essentially, same work, same pay. If you're doing a comparable job, regardless of, you know, what the job description is, you got to be paid the same. Now, you know, there's some things, seniority, merit, you know, if you're on a quantity or quality of production basis, if there's some special training, education, experience, you know, those things might allow for some difference in pay. But, you know, even if you agree to be paid less than what you're entitled to, you know, that isn't an excuse. Importantly, one of the things we're really looking for is that employers shouldn't be able to screen job applicants based on current or past compensation to, you know, determine what their salary was going to be for that job. And also that potential new hires shouldn't be asked about earnings history. You know, if the job is worth a dollar or $4 or $10, that's what should be paid, regardless of gender.
And this is a major issue at the moment, isn't it? I mean, there was just a ruling in a case from California about not being able to ask people about their previous salaries.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So I understand that, and I'm going to fast forward just a bit here in the process of getting that that passed through the 2017 legislature, that when you went to the signing ceremony with Governor Kate Brown, that you brought a report from 1896 with you.
Yeah, it was actually 1869. But,
wow.
But, you know, AUW, American Association of University Women, was called the Association of Collegiate Alumni, and their first research report was on, you know, pay differences based on sex and gender. And, you know, this report found way back then, indeed, that disparity took place. Like a bookkeeper, I think, who was cited, again, we got to remember the time frame we're talking about, but this bookkeeper says, well, you know, I'm doing bookkeeping, typing, you know, secretarial duties, and I get $6 a week. Well, my male counterpart over here has the title bookkeeper, but does the same thing, typing, bookkeeping, et cetera, and he gets $12 a week. So the notion that this is, you know, just kind of a every once in a while thing just isn't so, and it has been so since 1896 or 69. And that was actually very important in one of the hearings. Amazingly enough, I cited this. You know, I had just been rolling out all these statistics and, you know, looking really smart. And I thought, you know, this really tugs at my, you know, my heart that this has been going on for so long. So I just tossed this out in the midst of a Senate workforce hearing. And I had one of the folks there, the vice chair, as a matter of fact, Tim Canope, who's a representative from Bend, Republican, and kind of motioned me up saying, what is this about this report? Anyway, amazingly enough, that report caused Senator Canope and others to kind of take a look back. You know, this wasn't just a matter of women's choice. This has been going on for a long time, and he wanted to make sure his daughters were going to be protected. So, you know, we got down to the business of compromise and talking about what would be best for employees and employers. Anyway, at the signing ceremony, and we were given the distinct honor of being able to speak at that signing ceremony, I presented a little placard of the front page of that document to the governor and to all the senators and representatives who'd worked so hard to get this through. And it was really quite a moving moment.
We are talking about equal pay and the effort to get it. This is Equal Pay Day across the country, and there is an equal pay law on the books now for the state of Oregon that doesn't go into effect, we should point out, until January 1st of 2019. Regina Ayers from AAUW, the American Association of University Women, in the studio with me. She is from the statewide public policy board representing Southern Oregon. Trish Garner is the chair of the state public policy committee. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jake in Klamath Falls called in a question, wants to know if you can address the pay of women in commission sales. Do they make less relative to male counterparts? So people making commission rather than salary. Any knowledge of that, Regina?
Well, I know in the restaurant industry where there are tips involved, that employers still have to pay the base salary, the minimum wage here in Oregon, to their workers, male or female. Now, commission sales, car salesperson, I honestly don't know, but I think I know my daughter. She makes a base salary and commissions on top of that, so her base salary would still have to be comparable with her male peers.
Mm-hmm. So as relates to the state law, why does it not take effect? I mean, it was signed in mid-2017, Trish Garner, and won't take effect until January 1st of 2019. Why the delay?
Well, one of the things I just wanted to mention, if this is okay, that when you are talking about a commission basis, mm-hmm. That relates to that, you know, quality or quantity of production. That can justify an increase in the actual amount paid to the coworker. Now, if we're talking about, you know, a male making a larger percentage than a female for the same work, that would be a different thing. But because someone works really harder and is being paid on the basis of quantity or quality of production, that would be appropriate for a difference in income.
But the rate should be the same, right?
Exactly, exactly. With respect to your second question, you know, this is a big change. And I think it was felt that employers and employees needed to be given a little breathing space and said, okay, we got to look at our pay structures. And, you know, interestingly enough, the Bureau of Labor and Industries has some statistics on this, but there is a something called the Department of Administrative Services, which is a huge state agency that basically pays and takes care of a lot of state employees. And at a hearing after this bill was passed, but testified that, you know, they looked at their pay practices, and by golly, they saw clear disparities based on gender, and also, you know, that it had an impact on, with respect to the, you know, asking what someone was earning before they came. So they instituted a 35,000 employee-wide search, asking questions of all the employees about pay practices. I haven't heard the results, but I know some of the preliminary results have indicated, you know, gosh, we've got to do something about our pay practices, which is exactly why we wanted to push this out just a little bit, not only with respect to the payment amount, which is fairly straightforward, but, you know, you've got folks that, you know, every job application that you have is, you know, what was your earnings history?
So that was a big question. All those boxes are going to disappear, what you made at this job.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And all those listings saying provide us with resume and salary history, that's the resume is still okay, but not the salary history.
Exactly. And you know, another thing, too, is that because of this entire circumstance, employers have an opportunity to conduct what's called an equal a pay equity analysis. And they can avoid some of the not just back pay, but, you know, money in court to compensate the claimant or even punishing damages, punitive damages, as it's called. You know, if they complete this pay equity analysis, it has to be done within 3 years before an employee files a complaint. And then there's the, you know, legislative lingo. It has to be made in good faith, be reasonable in detail and scope, based on the size of the employer, and be related to the protected class of the claimant. Plus, I get to take care of the wage disparity of the claimant and the class of employees in that particular class. So if an employer does this equal pay analysis within 3 years, they can avoid a lot of court expenses. So here again, what we've tried to do is build in not only protections for the employees, but protections for the employers. And here's a way of, you know, if they're really in good faith, take a look at what they're doing, that they can avoid costly litigations, attorney's fees, damages, and such like that. So
those employer protections, I would think those employer protections are what helped you get this through the Senate on a unanimous vote.
I I think you're probably accurate. That was somewhat helpful. Although, again, I think that the negotiations that took place around this and other provisions really made this a better bill, a more common sense bill, a bill that isn't just going to instantly get the backup of folks who perhaps don't think this pay differential really exists. But it gives everyone an opportunity, okay, let's look at it. Let's look at it realistically, common sense, with our business eyes, and try to make sure there is no pay inequity.
Regina Ayers, I understand you are hosting some sort of public meeting today.
Yes,
to discuss this.
We are going to be hosting a meeting at the Ashland Public Library downstairs at noon, and we are encouraging working women and employers to attend to learn more about the gender gap and also the law that was passed last year. So that is at the Ashland Library at noon until 1 o'clock.
Hosted by your group, the American Association of University Women, AAUW.
Correct.
All right. Regina Ayers and Trish Garner are representing AAUW and talking to us about Equal Pay Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. So if people do find that they are not being paid equally, they can then turn to the Bureau of Labor and Industries in Oregon. Is that one of the things that the new law will put into effect on January 1st, Trish?
Yes, indeed. They can go to Bureau of Labor and Industries, also called BOLI.
Mm-hmm.
They can also file an action in state court. So they have an option to go either way. If they go through Bureau of Labor and Industries, they're pretty much limited to a year's back pay plus one, or times two. Mm-hmm. Two back pays over a year. If they go into court, there are some other, as they say in lawyer land, damages. If there are things that they've had to do to compensate for this, therapy expenses, I don't know. There are all sorts of damages. And if the employer has been doing this in a matter of a pattern or practice or history or, all the time, or, they may be able to get punitive damages. So, There's potentially more money that might be available in certain circumstances in going into state court as opposed to BOLI.
All right. Are there any exceptions or exemptions? Any business exempt from paying people equally?
Nope.
Okay. That's the good answer. House Bill 2005, is that what this started out as?
Yes, it did,
okay.
Indeed.
All right, that's the Equal Pay Law, and that takes effect on January 1st, 2019, in the state of Oregon. Obviously, equal pay in the news today as well because of the California case, which also says employers should not be asking about people's previous salaries. So a lot of movements going on in that direction on this Equal Pay Day. I want to thank Trish Garner and Regina Ayers from AAUW for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. And Regina, one more time, the event is what time and where?
It is at the Ashland Public Library downstairs at noon until 1 o'clock.
All right. Thank you so much both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.